My dear brethren, I wholeheartedly sustain the brethren in the new First Council of the 70 and the and the prophet through whom the Lord called them to their new positions of responsibility. Tonight, we shall listen to the word of the Lord from his living prophet, Spencer W. Kimball. Young men, you've heard about prophets. It has been my opportunity to live where I could associate with one for the last 4 years. And tonight I'd like to share some personal experiences which have brought me to an unyielding testimony of the divine call and mission of President Spencer W. Kimball as seer, as revelator for the Lord Jesus Christ in our day and time. It was my privilege to be present when President Kimball became president of the church. As the body of the priesthood bearers raised their hands to sustain President Kimball, there came into my heart and into my mind the calm assurance that this was indeed the will of our Heavenly Father. President Kimball, like the prophet Joseph Smith, is a man of courageous action. He is sensitive to the Spirit, a doer of the work. I've seen him on planes and buses and waiting rooms, in hotels and in chapels, and he's in constant motion, reading, preparing, listening, teaching by precept and by example. His is an inspired and inspiring warm personal approach to the, as he applies the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people he serves. He never seems too busy nor too tired to attend to the needs of the individuals, as he encourages each of us to a higher, more excellent personal performance in living. Recently, a young man in a wheelchair was referred to my office for counsel. He'd been informed that he had a terminal illness, and he desired a blessing and wanted to see a general authority before he died. Elder Rector and I were talking with him when in came President Kimball. He had learned of the young man's condition and came to spend a few moments with him. The president makes time for people. On another occasion, we were returning from area conferences in Europe, and we had a rather extended layover in New York City. And though tired and weary from his rigorous schedule, President Kimball eagerly visited with six missionaries who were en route to the Germany Munich mission. He inquired about their families, their personal feelings about serving on missions, and then he charged them to be the best missionaries in their mission. He encouraged them to be diligent and faithful, and promised that success would accompany such efforts. The missionaries left feeling uplifted in spirit and determined to serve valiantly. President Kimball edifies and inspires others. While in Argentina in 1975 at the Area Conference, President Kimball spoke to a large gathering of youth. Shortly after he began, he set aside his prepared text and shared a personal experience with them. He asked them, "Who gave you your voice?" He then told them about his experience with surgery to save his voice. He explained that the Lord had spared his voice. He said it wasn't the same voice he had once had. He couldn't sing as he had previously enjoyed doing, but he did have a voice. He said his voice wasn't a pretty one, but I tell you it was beautiful in what it taught that night. As he spoke, the youth responded even before the translator could interpret his words. He told those present, "Serving a mission is like paying tithing. You're not compelled. You do it because it's right. We want to go on missions because it's the Lord's way. The Savior on the Mount of Olives didn't say, 'If it's convenient, go.' He said, 'Go into all the world.'" President Kimball explained that it was the responsibility of young women to help young men remain worthy and to encourage them to go on missions. As the president concluded his remarks, he asked, "Didn't the Lord give you your voice so you could teach the gospel?" He then testified that he had come to know that his voice and our voices are for the declaring of the gospel of Jesus Christ and for testifying of the truths revealed to the prophet Joseph Smith. President Kimball teaches us correct perspective of life. Our beloved prophet not only calls us to be better missionaries, to lengthen our stride, he shows us how. In 1975, my wife and I were with President and Sister Kimball in Bogota, Colombia. As we were in the airport for his departure, an airlines representative met with us. Upon being introduced to this fine young man, the prophet extended his hand with these words, "Young man, I hope the next time I shake your hand, you're a member of this church." Without any hesitation, and with his eyes fixed firmly on those of the prophet, the man replied, "Sir, so do I." The president then turned to the mission president and obtained a commitment from him to teach the man the gospel. Words President Kimball had spoken to missionaries in Bogota had been exemplified indeed. Quote, "Give full energy and thought to the Lord's work. Your lives will be rich because of it." That day, I saw how the prophet's full thought was centered on living the spirit of the calling as well as carrying out the physical duties that are his. This past summer, my wife and I were again blessed to be with President Sister Kimball and other general authorities and their wives at area conferences in Scandinavia and Europe. Following the closing session in Copenhagen, Denmark, we all visited a cathedral referred to as the Dome. Within this great edifice are the best beloved works of Denmark's greatest sculptor, Bertel Thorvaldsen, his original Christus and the 12 Apostles. The imposing statue of Christ stands in an alcove at the front of the cathedral beyond an altar. And standing in order along the two sides of the cathedral are the lifelike statues of the apostles, with Paul replacing the betrayer, Judas Iscariot. As we looked at those beautiful works of art, we noted that Peter was sculptured with large keys in his hands. John is holding scriptures. Others of the 12 are shown with identifying symbols, indicating, for example, the manner in which they earned a living or how they were martyred. President Kimball thoughtfully studied each statue. As we were ready to leave the cathedral, the Danish caretaker, a man about 60 years of age, was standing near the door awaiting our departure. President Kimball shook his hand, thanked him for his kindness in letting us visit the cathedral. Then the president began an explanation of the church established by Jesus Christ and of its importance to us. All those present gathered near to be taught by the prophet. He began in simple words. It went something like this. "My dear friend, the man who created these statues was surely inspired of the Lord. The beauty and majesty of the Christus are wonderful. While Thorvaldsen was doing his work here in 1821 to 1844, Joseph Smith was doing his work in America. Thorvaldsen didn't have the gospel, as Joseph Smith did, but he had the Spirit. He must have been inspired to create these statues of Christ and the apostles. He was trying to bring them to life." Gathering President Tanner, Elder Monson, and Elder Packer closer to him, the president continued, "We are living apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are 12 apostles and 3 others who are the presidency of the church. We hold the real keys, as Peter did, and we use them every day. They are in use constantly." Then the president introduced me. "This is a real live 70, he said. "You'll recall that the Savior called his 12 apostles and his 70, and he sent the 70 two and two before his face into every city into which he himself should come to prepare the way before him. We can give you the true gospel of Jesus Christ." What a thrilling spiritual feeling to hear the prophet bear witness of his own calling and to have so graphically illustrated the importance of living apostles. As beautifully and masterfully done as the statues were, they were only marble and could do no more than remind us of the real priesthood leaders which they represented. How blessed we all felt to be present with a living prophet and apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, we must be more than marble. We must follow the prophet's lead and become living examples of Christ bearers, living carriers of His message of salvation to those about us. My testimony of the divine call of Spencer W. Kimball as the Lord's prophet has grown from that sweet assurance at the time of his sustaining. Observing his personal example with individuals, with groups of people, in his non-public doings, with members and non-members of the church, I have seen and felt his concern for the individual, his dauntless missionary spirit, and his commitment of his full energy and thought to the work of the Lord. In each of these settings, there has come into my soul that witness that here indeed is a prophet of God. I testify to you that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the head of this church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and that he does have living apostles, of whom the chief apostle is President Spencer W. Kimball. These men do hold the keys of priesthood authority and power, the soul-saving power administered by the Savior himself during his sojourn here in the earth. Think of it. The Lord loves us so much that he has placed these great men here in the earth to guide us safely back into his presence. Take a good look at them. Listen to their counsel thoughtfully and prayerfully. May you receive in your heart from the Holy Ghost the same witness and testimony which I have in mind regarding these truths. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.